a few unrelated thoughts which just happened to be in the parsha Balo Yischo, and see how much we can get through. Let's start with the second one here. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, about his situation that was considered Lashon Hara, that they spoke about him. So the Ralbag says in the Toelios, the Toelis is Lohidia Shoish Hasholim Oid Loyet Shukoisov Rak Lavedis Hashem Yisale. A person who is very much Bishleimus in his Avedis Hashem, who's reached a very high level of perfection in his Avedis Hashem. V'yaniach kol, his tshuka is rak for Avedis Hashem. V'yaniach kol ho inyonim hagufanim lefi ma she'efshar. And he'll leave aside all physical desires, things that have to do with the material, with the bodily, with the human part of his the gashmius part. He'll leave them aside. The kol shekein hamishkal sheinenu la'odu b'mashu odom. He says, and kol shekein when it comes to inyone arayis, because these, I think, what that loshen einenu la'odu b'mashu odom means, that they're really sort of not part of the higher level of humanity. In other words, they're really some baser things. It's really the animalistic peace in us. So let's leave it at that. I'm not sure if that's what it means. Well, lezeh bir, shemeisha pirish min ha'isha. Meisha was mefarish from his wife. Mitzad ma sheginuhu al zeh Miriam v'aroin, that this is what they were megane him. V'omru, ki mitzad hanevuah lo yitztorich lifroish mimeno. Mitzad the fact that he was a novi, he did not have to separate from her. Ki gam bohem diber Hashem, because Hashem also spoke with them, im hisaskam b'tzorche ha'chomer b'esoroi. Even though they continued to be mesasek in the chomer, in other words, they did not stop their material, physical existence and the things that a normal human being does at normal times, and still they were able to speak to Hashem. So nevuah does not necessarily require a person's bittel of all of his physical needs, of all of his gashmias, and therefore they criticize Moshe Rabbeinu for his separation. But what I think is interesting over here, it's a very interesting formula. It says, and it's very poshut, that's what it says, that a person who has reached a certain level of shleimus, that his tshuka becomes rak l'avodas Hashem, and what happens? He's maniach all the dvarim haguf gufniim that are part of a normal person's existence. And I just thought that this concept is really very relevant to us today too. We live in a society where the chomer, the taiva, the human side, the bodily side of humanity is being over-accessed, over-emphasized. The temptations, the distractions, the attractions, the pritzus, the everything, the overexposure that we have to what the Satmar Rebbe, I think, used to say. This was in his day. This is a long time ago. That a chosid of his going to Manhattan in one day sees more preachers than he saw his whole life in Santa Maria, in Satmar, when he lived in the little shtetl. So it's a tremendous thing, and we're all affected by it. And really, the effects are devastating, because the effects are not only taiva and avera, which they certainly are, but they're destroying the source or the base of taiva, which is necessary to function in a normal marriage situation, because it becomes so overexposed by the time a person gets married, and even when he's married, it's all alte Sachen. It's over, the overexposure creates a terrible sense of boredom, to the extent that we used to find at these seminars that for people that are not religious, strangely enough, the discussion of Taras HaMishpocha is the thing that's most attractive to them. It's most bizarre, it seems. That should be the least attractive. That should scare them. But no, because it answers the basic problem in our society that people are so overexposed that, you know, it's trite, it's boring, it's too much. So it seems that but yet younger people say that they have no etzah, what to do. We live in such a society. We have this exposure. I try. Okay, let's be sheltered. Let's curtail what we read and what we see and what we do. But the mice, it's a limit to what you can do in that area. But it seems there's another etzah. It seems that the emphasis on shlemus, that as a person is mashlim himself in ruchnius, that shlemus in ruchnius, it can minimize his tshuka for all these other things. If a person has developed a certain shlemus, then his tshukas become focused on the ruchnius. It says lo yia tshukos of rak la'avodas Hashem v'yaniach kolu enyonim hagufanim lefi ma she'efshar, and he'll be able to overpower all these other temptations because of ruchnius. I mean, in a certain sense, I guess maybe that's even what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about by the moshul of Shir HaShirim to the husband and wife, that in a certain sense the energies, the koiches that are involved in the fulfillment of taiva really can be rechanneled in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the degree that a person can achieve shlemus and develop and expand, and a tshuka develops by, the more you, in ruchnius, the more you do, the more tshuka you have. In gashmius, it works the other way. The more you have, the more the exposure, the less desire there is. But in ruchnius, the more you're exposed, the more desire. So a person, if he fires himself up in ruchnius, and he works on his shlemus, he could reach such a tshuka for avodas Hashem that it minimizes it. In case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was able to go very far because of the level of shlemus. But at least it could minimize the involvement with all of these things, the desire for all of these things, and that could be mamash a yeshua and a hatzola certainly for single people and even for married people that want to maintain the right amount and not to overdo it. So I think that to realize that the pursuit of ruchnius has that power to limit the alternative, the gashmius tikatayvus, can be a very helpful tool. The Torah says that Moshe was ono moed mikol ha'odom. So the Ralbag says here in the Te'elius, lo hidia shein roi lo odom shiitin alivu hadvorim asha yishma sheom rekenegdoi. Don't take to heart those things that somebody says about you. We learn from here. Don't take to heart. People talk about you. They say not nice things. Let it roll off your back. Shein roi lo odom shiitin alivoi. Even though there are people that are subservient to you, I'm the master, I'm the Odoin, and these people are talking about me, the Odoin, but don't let it bother you, you know, be above it, just let it roll off your back. What's the raya? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the spoil. It didn't let him affect it. It rolled off his back. He couldn't care less what Miriam and Aaron spoke against. He kept quiet. That's why, to teach us this, to show us this, the Torah was soimich to this inyan of Miriam, for ish Moshe onov me'oid, that Moshe Rabbeinu was such an onov. So that's like teaches us this idea that let it roll off your back. Don't worry about what people say about you. And it's clear that Moshe knew about it. So he says from there you see that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that they had spoken about him. And yet the Torah says, "V'ish Moshe onov me'oid." So we learn this lesson: don't let things bother you. Okay, it's a very nice lesson, but I think that there's another twist to this lesson as well. It seems that the raya to this concept is from Vohish Moshe Onav Ma'oid. That's why the Torah writes Vohish Moshe Onav Ma'oid next to this, to teach me that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't respond at all. It sounds like, and again, you know, we could question that, but it does sound like that that had Moshe Rabbeinu not been that onuf, then despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was such an ish ruchni, despite the fact that I'm sure he knew that his sister and his brother were all mechaben l'shem shamayim, despite the fact that he had so many more, I mean, I would have thought so many more significant things in his lifetime. This is the man who speaks directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Peel Pea Dabir Boy, and this is the leader of Klal Yisrael who mitzad echod, I mean, they're talking about him, that's true, but mitzad sheni, like he's so exalted and above, and his position is so focused and so serious and so historic and the greatest of the great. So like, well, this, well, that's going to bother me. That it seems that if not for the Midas HaAnova, that he would not have been able to be shoysik to that extent, to be able to take it to Shelo Yitein Eliboy. It's very, very difficult not to take things to heart. Somebody says something, it's very, very difficult. And it seems from here that the only way to really make that happen, it's not just enough my importance and my satisfaction in life and my personal accomplishments and my happiness and my ability to ignore and to forget and to this. It seems it needs that Midas HaNova. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's Midas HaNova which conveyed this message that he didn't let anything bother him. So it sounds like in order to be able to roll with the punches in life and to take the difficulties and the challenges and the negativity that comes from people and the Lashon Hara and we're always exposed to these things, that it's critical to have the Midas HaNova. Midas HaNova says, Anil Eineni Roy L'Tehilo. I'm not worthy of praise. I don't look at myself. I don't hold myself on that high pedestal. I'm onov. I'm low. I'm not Eineni Roy L'Tehilo. Oh, Eineni Roy L'Tehilo. Now I can adjust and compensate and cope with and allow to roll off my back the fact that people are talking negatively about me. But if I think that I'm Roy L'Tehilo, then no matter how much else I have going for me, it seems that I still will not be able, of course, on the level, but I won't be able to achieve that ability to look the other way and to ignore it and to let it roll off my back because I'm Roy L'Tehilo and you're speaking negatively. Do you know who I am? Who are you? I'm the Odin, if I care. You're speaking against me, that's one thing. It's not shady. I'm the Odin, I'm the big person, I'm accomplished, I'm successful, I'm this, I'm that. So, but if I feel I'm Roy L'Tehilo, then it's lo yitochin, that shouldn't bother the person. So we see another benefit of a person's developing and expanding and learning Musa to imbibe that Midas HaAnova, because when he has that Midas HaAnova, that Midas HaAnova sort of insulates him and shields him and protects him from all kinds of things that could potentially come from the outside. There's just one more thing here, if I could just squeeze it in here in the for another minute or two. The Torah talks about that the Anan, the Amud and the Amud HaEsh and the Anani HaKovod were on the Mishkan. So it says, the Ralbag says, what's the Toelis here? The Farsim Oitzin Nefloys Hashem Yisal Al Yedei Moshe Nevi'oi. This is to be Mefarsim, the extent, the strength of the miracles that Hashem did through Moshe Rabbeinu. Shetekev Shehukam HaMishkan Kiso Onon Hashem Yisal Al Yedei. As soon as the Mishkan was built, there was a cloud of glory and Anan Hashem that covered the Mishkan. The Amud Eish Laila and a pillar of fire that protected it at night. Ad sheyirtze Hashem yisala shiyisu, until Hashem wanted them to travel. The Nosa Oz Ha'onon Imoem Lan Chosim Aderech, and the Ananim, or the Onon, went with them to show them the way. V'kasha Yishkon Shom Ha'onon Shom Yachanu B'nei Yisrael. When the Onon stopped, then the Bnei Yisrael stopped. That was their leader. That was their guide. That was their GPS throughout the years in the Midbar. Uvezeho even hoyu noisim vechoinim al pi Hashem. That's how pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisu, because the Onon led the way, and that's how they knew when to go and when to stop. Vehine omer besoiv zeho inyan al pi Hashem biyad Moshe lebei sibus. Why does the Torah tell me al pi Hashem biyad Moshe? So he says there are two reasons for that. That the Torah underscores that when it talks about the Ananim leading and the Ananim covering the Mishkan. Number one, that this Mephis that Hashem did, this was a Mephis Hashem made, with all of this, it was only Alpi Moshe Mipi HaGvura. Kasher Yitzavah Litkoa B'Chatzoytzos B'Mas HaMachanos, like they had to announce with the Chatzoytzos when they were going. So, it seems very repetitious. The first reason is to teach me that Hashem did this Alidei Moshe. The second reason is to teach me that it was Alidei Moshe Mipi HaGvura. Something's going on over here. So I just think that this underscores two very serious issues in life of Klal Yisrael, in the life of Hanhoga in Klal Yisrael, in leadership in Klal Yisrael, and that's as far as there are two critical, separate, individual ingredients. There are Beis Sibois, and this is teaching us Alpi Hashem Biyad Moshe. There has to be the recognition that despite the fact that there's a strong leader, is the Hashem is doing the Mufsim Al Yedei the leader. The Rosh Yeshiva Zecharenu Levracha used to say that the definition or the mission of leadership in Klal Yisrael is to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu lead. I would say to let and to realize and to participate in that process. So on the one hand, we have to realize we have a leader and we follow our leader, and the leader is great, and the leader is a tzaddik and a goyin and a godel and everything else. But we have to realize, don't lose sight of the fact that it's Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe, that Hashem is the ultimate behind everything. Don't think that it's the leader by the Egel. According to many of the Rishonim, that was what happened, that they became so dependent upon the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he didn't come back. And they panicked until the next morning when he was supposed to come down anyway, and they ended up with whatever the Egel was. So that's the one thing. Hasheni, Kim Kolze, Lohoyo Noisim Kim Alpi Moshe, Mipiagbura. V'im Kolze, that it's all the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have to realize that it's through the leader. The Rabbeinu Shalom leads through the leaders of Klal Yisrael. We have to meet Tzad Echod, view the leadership as just agents of the Boirei Olam, and that he's leading through them. Meet Tzad Sheni, we have to realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is leading through them. And we have to look to the leaders as the conduits, as the mouthpiece, so to speak, as the representatives, as the conveyors of the message of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, rather than to think that we have that independent connection, and therefore, you know, well, since it's all about Hashem, we'll deal with Hashem just as, why do I need Moshe Rabbeinu, I could deal. No, it's both. It's Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. It's that when I look at the manig, I have to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And when I look at the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I have to realize that he leads through the manig. And that's the healthy balance between our relationship and our appreciation, our respect for manhigim in terms of what they are doing. Hashem is really the manig, but yet they are the bona fide and certified agents to lead us accordingly.